gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. How are you?
Good morning, everybody. What's happening down here?
We got a barn. Here. Let's put on a show.
Yes, we do. Why, look at that. You know what it is? I was very excited about my new I'm a Stephanie Miller Show whore bags.
How many bottles of wine can you fit in that?
A lot.
Yes.
A lot. Because it's fund drive time, and we very urgently need to raise some money, kids.
Yep.
The fund drive, it's only it ends next week.
Yep.
And we need to hit...
a lot more than what we got
right?
now.
Right, yeah, exactly. Let's go. Fill this yes. full of cash and send it to Free Speech TV.
Freespeech.org.
You can get that Stephanie Miller Show whore bag for just $120 tax-deductible donation.
It does not come with wine.
Look, Stephanie Miller Show fleece jacket, everybody. Look. Look,
Mama
we have
Bonus,
a Stephanie Miller Show wine set.
Yes.
Mama Bone is staying warm in Fresno right now with that fleece jacket.
I know.
And what about that scarf? That really cool scarf.
Extra long. Can't you put your hands in it?
Pockets.
You can see all of this if you go to freespeech.org and to the donate page.
Do it.
Yep.
Do it. Okay. Oh, don't forget. Wait. Don't forget. Oh, hang on. No, that's not right. Hang on. Everybody. Look, we can only $60 tax deductible donation. We can send actual coal to the actual Coal Brothers, and you get a Stephanie Miller Show drink, cry, quit water bottle.
Yeah, and if one of them sits on this, they could turn it into a diamond.
Right. All right. Stop talking.
No, that's
now.
If Chris Christie sits on it.
All right, we have a big show.
Yep.
We've Carl Furch out of the box, Dino Badala, and Jody Hamilton, who is delightful, live in studio, hour number three by popular demand.
Don't forget Nurse Jackie Schechner.
Oh, Nurse Jackie Schechner on the phone today.
That's
yes.
Right.
All right. Okay.
And also, we're recording the Happy Hour podcast tonight.
Who's on it?
Jason Stewart.
Jason Stewart.
Oh, Jason Stewart, comedian extraordinaire. Okay. Because we have some moving parts. It's the holidays. Did you see who I got in writing for
yes.
the new year?
Mm-hmm.
In
mm-hmm.
writing, which
mm-hmm.
is legal.
Mm-hmm.
Marcia Clark.
Yep. And we also have a date set for Kathleen Madigan.
Yes. January 29th.
Okay. All right. I'm fine.
And... as I was talking about with Carl Frisch, Tina Dupuy, the first week in January.
That's right.
Right in the new year, live in studio. Eye candy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, look who's here. Why?
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com. So inviting to me. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. You know, I was just telling Dexter that if people want to continue to watch you, on Free Speech TV, they need to get out those checkbooks, if people still use checkbooks,
mm-hmm. yes.
or credit cards, and fill up the Itchy Kitty.
I still use checkbooks and a paper calendar.
And we still call you the Itchy Kitty.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I will
Thanks.
Tell you, I mean, I'm so glad to hear that that my good friend Tina Dupuy is going to be on the podcast.
Yes.
The Happy Hour podcast.
All it's going to take you guys is like half a glass of wine. She's such a lightweight.
I know.
But what's really funny is that she gets really drunk after like half a glass of wine, and then she gets racist against white people.
That's awesome.
I'm in.
Oh my God, I'm such a race traitor. It's going to be just a frenzy.
Oh man,
yeah.
You will not. You have not lived until she takes on the Irish.
Yeah, wake up, white people, because drunken me and Tina Dupuy are coming for you.
You just made a poem there, drunken me and Tina Dupuy.
That could be your new podcast.
What did I say yesterday? One of the mysteries of history.
Yes, that was a hashtag.
What was I referring
for
to?
For a second. I have no idea.
I don't know. Who knows?
You're having a brain event.
Right?
I feel like I'm stuck in a bad poem from high school.
Anyway, good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning.
Hey, how about that torture report?
There was a report about torture?
Yes.
To talk about it, right?
Yeah.
America's too good and too awesome.
Yeah, we're too awesome to torture.
We can't possibly. I mean, this is... I cannot believe that we're surprised that right-wingers don't want to talk about this. These are the same people that want to change textbooks so that we don't talk about women's suffrage, mm-hmm. slavery, or any other of the pockmarks on American history. People need to know that what makes America great is that we've always found ways to get better.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who is it that Dianne Feinstein even was saying something about, like, you know, I get that a lot of Americans don't like these people if they think they had anything to do with, obviously, the death of Americans. But she said, I mean, that was the best way to put it. She said, well, we don't do this.
Right.
You know, we're America.
She slept around Wolf Blitzer and kept on calling him by his first and last name. I mean, you really only call somebody by their first and last name
when they're in trouble.
Repeatedly in one,
Wolf Blitzer?
In one conversation if you don't like them.
Yeah.
And she was. He was like, well, what, do you believe that you will be blood will be on your hands if... And she said, no, Wolf Blitzer. That's not what's going to happen.
I didn't miss... I didn't watch that
awesome.
Show.
That's awesome. As someone that was schooled by nuns for 12 years of hard time, that is awesome.
She was fantastic. I mean,
yeah.
People forget that this is a lady who's been through quite a bit. I mean, she was the mayor of San Francisco.
Yep.
Yeah.
When Harvey Milk was assassinated, or she became mayor when Harvey Milk was assassinated. You know, she's had some tough campaigns to get to be the senior position Democrat on the committee that she is.
Mm-hmm.
And the CIA has screwed with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, they lied to her, and she's
with
pissed.
Their senators.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they were creating this report.
Well, that's so, the other thing that, you know, hasn't been talked about a lot is that Leon Panetta's report, right, that never came out that confirmed a lot of this. And the CIA, obviously they stopped that, but they also, that's when they did the hacking of all the Senate computers, right?
And that's just it. All of the reports about torture, all of the reports about WMD, they all point to the exact same thing. All the reports about Benghazi.
Mm-hmm.
We do these report after report after report because the right-wing smear machine can't let go of a faux scandal.
Right, right.
But there is not a whole lot of new in this report. We know more details about the torture that was happening. But what do we know, what was reconfirmed?
Yeah, well, that was why that was
telling us at the time.
Mm-hmm. That was such a bogus argument.
It's more terrorists, which makes it more dangerous
yep.
for our troops.
Right.
And that has been underscored by this report, but we've really known that for more than 10 years.
But I mean that's why you knew that was such a bogus argument. Like, oh, this will endanger America. It's like, our enemies know we torture.
Yeah.
They know by now. You know. I mean, it's. So I don't know, Carl. I mean, it really is amazing that there. And on cue, what was it? Mitch McConnell said, "Oh, this was just a final poke in the eye of the Bush administration." Since when aren't war crimes a big deal? Since, you know what I mean? Like, oh, this is just some. If you compare and contrast this with Benghazi that you just brought up,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, I mean That's exactly right. I mean, if you really look at it, what we're saying is that Americans don't have a stomach to keep talking about this, so let's just move on. That doesn't mean that everything that happened wasn't horribly wrong. There are a lot of conservatives who aren't defending what happened. They're just saying we shouldn't talk about this anymore because it happened so long ago. You know, they still talk about Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
And his term in office.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan never stopped talking about Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
you know, there's this just big discrepancy between reality and the spin coming from Republicans.
And Carl, you know.
And it's been nice to watch John McCain shoving it back down their throat.
Finally.
Yeah, and by the way, Carl, you're a former Republican. I obviously am too. My dad was a Republican candidate for president, but I've
right.
never wished he was around more than now to ask him about this, because as I frequently mentioned, he was also an assistant prosecutor at Nuremberg. And I agree with these the senior UN officials. Said, all senior U.S. officials and CIA agents who authorized or carried out torture as part of, you know, Bush-Cheney policy should be prosecuted, according to a lot of the, you know, he said it's crystal clear under international law the United States, which ratified the U.N. Convention Against Torture in 1994, now has an obligation to ensure accountability. Do you agree?
I think that's right, yeah. Otherwise, there's no, you know, there's really no nation of laws here.
Yeah.
Otherwise, any of the treaties or laws that we've created, they don't right. matter because there's no accountability.
Yeah, conservatives
if we don't hold people accountable for this, what happens if they break our, you know, civil or criminal laws? We just let them off the hook?
Yeah. Conservatives have never taken much stock in the UN anyway, so using that argument against them is it means
I'm
nothing to them.
I'm certain this was a treaty done by Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Right, well, yeah, there you go. I'm going to throw the Reagan at them
yeah.
again. But Human Rights Watch director said unless this important truth-telling process leads to the prosecution of officials, torture will remain a policy option for future presidents. That's
I really
another.
I wish that we could just weaken Bernie's Ronald Reagan sometimes.
Zombie Reagan.
Around, you know, put like a little Bahama Joe's shirt on him and have like somebody doing his voice from off stage.
I mean,
so that he could set them straight. We wouldn't have to, like, lie about what Reagan thought or would say.
Well, here's what I did say. Right, exactly.
We would just use quotes of his. But I don't think people respond to the written word. You know, with Republicans thinking that words have a liberal bias, they may not believe it when they read it. But if they just saw a Weekend at Bernie's-eyed Ronald Reagan, maybe they'd buy it.
Maybe we can do a hologram.
Yes. What if we can bring back Tupac?
Tupac and Reagan on tour.
Yeah, great.
Carl, you know me, happy clappy. I support the administration, but I have to ask why, and I get it that people go, oh, it's all political, oh, you're in the, living the past, and you blah, 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 the Bush administration. It's like, these are war crimes, aren't they? Like, this is different. Why isn't the Justice Department? Why have they declined?
Well, that's just the thing, right? It's not necessarily for us to say, but there are mechanisms that there are that can figure out whether or not war crimes were committed and whether or not people should be punished. But we're not pursuing those mechanisms. So I honestly think that there is a fraction, maybe a third of the country, that would like to see that happen. And two-thirds of the country would probably have a big problem with it because they've been brainwashed into thinking we shouldn't be talking about this and we should just move on.
Yeah.
It's similar to impeachment in the minds of the American people. Like, it's just something that's off the table. And until liberals and libertarians become good at explaining why torture and domestic spying and all of these real abuses of civil rights and civil liberties and human rights are a bad thing, not just here in the United States but abroad.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're right.
We're going to convince enough people to be on our side so that when this happens, somebody could be held accountable.
Yeah. You're right. I was listening to the right wing show on, the big station here the other day. And it's like, you're right. It's almost like we live in two different worlds on this issue. I mean, they're joking and making fun. And, one of them said, this is there's nothing worse in here than my brother did to me when we were growing up. It's like, really? Really?
I don't think your brother
making
shoved
fun
up
of it.
No one
waterboarded
you.
Yeah.
I don't think your brother shoved a hose up your butt and made you eat that way.
You should just challenge him and say that you'll get some experts to come in. And waterboard him, and you'll give him $1,000 if he doesn't break.
Now, I have one question. Now, there's a big right-wing talking point out there saying, yeah, this report doesn't mean anything because they didn't talk to anybody in the CIA about this. Why didn't they talk to anybody in the CIA? Do you know?
I don't.
I've been trying to find that answer. And
I think we're seeing the response from the CIA in what reporters are challenging with.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fairly obvious to me, at least, that the CIA is working the media just as diligently as anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not to mention Dick Cheney. Let's listen to one before we go.
I think it's a terrible piece of work, basically. Yeah. It seems to me it's deeply flawed. They didn't bother to interview key people involved in the program.
There you go.
And
talking
I think
point.
That it's a sort of a classic example, which you see too often in Washington, where a group of politicians get together and sort of throw the professionals under the bus. We've seen it happen before. I can remember Iran-Contra.
With Iran-Contra, Carl, when they also were unfairly accused.
Speeches that Colin Powell or Dick Cheney or George Bush were giving about Yellow Cake. That wasn't throwing the respected officials under the bus.
Was it only me that wanted to hear the giant cartoon knocking hand? Just, the officials from The Hague are here. Gotta go. Gotta cut this interview short.
A little hook.
Okay, Dick. Thanks for that. Oh, God. All right, Carl.
He claim that the heart that he had when that happened isn't the heart that he has now, so maybe he should be let off. I don't know what his defense would be.
The lack of a heart defense?
Right.
Yeah.
His heart is in the...
Obviously, you can only prosecute human beings. I am...
His original heart's in the...
Overlord.
Right, it's in the federal relocation program, the federal heart relocation
program. Do you know me as Darth Cheney?
Yeah.
Sorry, Cheney.
Cheney. Ah, it's Cheney. Okay. All right, Carl, great stuff. Digging in. Torture in the morning.
Yep.
What's more fun? All right, love you, honey.
Love you, too. Have
All right, there he goes. 21 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 26 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. What did I yell during the break? Travis! Get get me Valerie Plame. She was on the TV last night, I believe, on my future husband Lawrence O'Donnell show. Speaking of which, so, okay, remember the thing I invited? There's this little party honoring me this weekend that I invited you and Travis to, and you didn't even bother to decline?
Well, we told you.
Okay.
And then Timmy backed
out. Yeah, I know. Timmy just backed out, too. But Lawrence wrote me from New York to say he's going to have to honor me from the other coast. Remember I read that yesterday? And I wrote back, OMG, you replied.
That was his way of turning
double
me down.
Double swoon, double hair twirl. He just wrote me back, OMG, you replied to my reply. NBC and HR rules do not allow me to express my true feelings at this moment, Lawrence.
He's very funny. He is very, very funny.
He's funny. He's a great writer.
Yeah.
All right. So we have a little high school thing going. Like, we're passing notes back and forth.
Is there a Mrs. O'Donnell?
No, I don't believe
really?
So.
Really?
Yeah, there's an opening. I'm working through my post-Lisa Bloom feelings. Okay, 1-800...
Work on them with Valerie Plame, maybe.
There you go. No, I know Ambassador Wilson. That's not.
Says no.
That would be inappropriate.
That's a no-go zone. When you've had dinner at their house with their kids, then you're in a no-go zone.
You finally found a line that you can't cross.
Well, you know, have to be somewhere. Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Mama.
Hi.
You know, no one changes their behavior unless they take a good look at it and acknowledge that they made a mistake. And I integrate that into how they see themselves, see the world around them, and then work to train to change that behavior. And that is exactly what they do not want to do on the right wing with the majority of the Republicans, it would seem. They don't want to look at themselves. They don't want to acknowledge that they made this possible. Not just allowed it to happen, but there's nothing passive about it. They made this happen. And they do not want to acknowledge that. They don't want to grab guilt and then say, okay, let's look at ourselves and say, this can never happen again. They have no interest in doing that.
Right.
They have turned right into wrong, up, down. It is repugnant. And this idiotic cheerleader that was on Fox News saying, we're an awesome nation.
Andrea Tentaros.
Yes.
Perhaps subjecting prisoners to her voice would just be, that's definitely outside the Geneva Convention.
Yeah. That is cruel and unusual punishment.
Yes.
As Greg said, it sounded like she was running for junior high class president, where she kept saying everything is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Dave, the difference couldn't be clearer. Like Carl was just saying, Benghazi, what are we on? 6 studies that have, you know, or reports that have cleared the Obama administration. Mm-hmm. This is very clear, however you feel about it, that this is torture and this is against international law, period.
Yeah. It is wrong. Plain and simple, it is wrong.
So to say this is just another political witch hunt, that, you know, Mitch McConnell, whatever, we'll talk about all that as we continue. And Dean Obadala of the Daily Beast as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You don't want anybody to have a happy Christmas.
Oh, you want happy? Drink another 6-pack.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right, so much to get to. Look who's here.
Here he comes. Yes, it's Dino Badala. Yes, it's Dino Badala. Dino Badala.
Ta-da. Hello, Dean.
Hey, how are you?
Good, sir.
Good to be on with you, and it's, you know, with so much going on in the world.
Yeah.
We hate to have you follow the jokes, but we just played some Dick Cheney from Fox News last night.
Dick Cheney. Who would have thought? This is like, you know, VH1's Where Are They Now? But they're just right here. It's just ongoing. Like, they're back. And it's like behind the music, but behind the torture with Dick Cheney. We get to see a little bit more about what he's thought about. These guys...
Boy, you know what I think would help the fight against terrorism and all this, you know, Islamic extremism, blah, 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 that they talk about nonstop in the right wing, would be prosecuting the people that tortured during the Bush administration.
Yeah,
right?
That would be exactly right. That's accountability. That makes us different from the other nations across the Middle East who do torture their people and nothing comes of it at all until there's a coup.
Yeah.
And then some people get prosecuted for that after that.
Yeah, but that
should set us apart, because if we're going to torture... You know, we're patting ourselves on the back for putting this report out, some of us,
Yeah.
And then, you know, well, you really want to do something about it, then you have to hold people accountable who violated our law.
Well, right, to stand up and say this is not who we are as America. This was a dark chapter in our history, and these people are war criminals, period.
Well, I really love the conservatives who defend the torture by going, well, ISIS beheads people. So to them, ISIS is the standard for right and wrong. I'm like, well, there you go. You really lower the bar. Like, well, we're America. We're one step above ISIS. You feel good about that, really, deep down? Like, if we would have...
And why does ISIS exist?
Posted it, we'd be exactly like ISIS.
Yeah, why does ISIS exist? Because we invaded Iraq, because we tortured, because we had Abu Ghraib, because we had Gitmo.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why they're torturing Americans and beheading them, right?
Well, it's part of it. There's no doubt. I mean, I think that's... Nothing's in a vacuum, and nothing's like it starts here and ends here. Like, these things are built over years. Just like the reaction to Michael Brown and Eric Garner getting killed is not just Michael Brown and Eric Garner getting killed. It's in the context of years and years and years of situations where the police are abusing people of color, and there's an explosion that we see. Same thing in the Middle East. It's never in a vacuum, because I'm writing an article right now about sort of like the history of torture in the Arab and Muslim world, a little bit about it, sort of why there's not been this outcry. Remember, they said, oh my God, when we release this report, they're going to go crazy in the Muslim world, the Arab world. Well, you know what? They've been tortured for decades over there by their leaders. We are no different now. All we're going to do is do a report and nothing more about it. And, you know, there's different forms of torture. There's sleep deprivation, waterboarding, listen to Ted Cruz give a speech. That's pretty painful. Right.
Hello, folks. Hello. You talked to, I guess it's a woman number one in the chronology of the Bill Cosby allegations. Yes. Chris was saying, I don't know if you saw South Park last night, but they had...
They had Bill Cosby singing Baby It's Cold Outside while giving wine to Taylor Swift.
Oh, my God. I didn't see that. I'm sure there'll be some kind of backlash today. I'm sure Glenn Beck will be angry and Rush Limbaugh defending Bill Cosby being, you know, vilified in a cartoon before he had his trial. What happened is I wrote an article about a week ago for the Daily Beast about how the partisan defense of Bill Cosby, and when I said partisan, it really wasn't Republican, Democrat, it was men.
Yeah.
And that was the partisanship we were seeing. And it was Rush and Glenn Beck, but it was also Faison Love, who's African-American comedian, defending Bill Cosby. And while there were a few women defending Cosby then, really, it was overwhelmingly men in the media, public, even on Twitter. So she, a woman named Christina Rulli, who I never met before, whose name has come up in the media, and she was sexually assaulted, allegedly. I have to keep saying allegedly, unfortunately, because I completely believe her.
Right.
In 1965, she was number one. She was woman one in the timeline. Just email me saying, hey, that was a really nice article you wrote. Thanks for writing it. And we started emailing back and forth. And I said, hey, my editors are interested. Can I interview you for an article about this? And she said, sure. So I talked to her for about an hour on Sunday. She lives in New Hampshire. Really nice woman, 71 years old. And, you know, a grandma living a great life, married to what she calls the greatest man in the world, and she's a graduate of law school. Like, she doesn't want anything from Cosby, no money, no apology. To her, justice is people hearing about what Bill Cosby is really, what he really did to these women, and empowering other women to come forward, not just in the Cosby case, but overall in this culture of rape we live in, where women are vilified instead of seen as the victim in too many cases.
Well, and, you know, I've been saying this over and over, Dean, what you write about. You said, adding to the feeling of powerlessness for the women is that Cosby is a beloved celebrity. Questions like, will people even believe me, start running through your head. She said, as there's the additional fear of these types of cases that the public will vilify the victim, not a celebrity wrongdoer. You say, as she noted, when a woman alleges charges against a celebrity, it isn't 15 minutes of fame, it's 15 minutes of shame.
And that was a great line, but when she said that, I'm like, that really sums it up well. You know, she's very, very, very smart woman, very articulate, and she's fully aware of what it's like for women to go forward today's world against any celebrity today, let alone 1965.
Well,
I mean, to her, she at the time was a secretary at a big talent agency.
Right.
Cosby comes in and says, hey, you, and there was an actress there, and she doesn't want to say her name because this actress has not come forward. Said, do you want to come to my house? We're having a party. They get there. It's a party of three. It's the two women and Cosby. And he goes, here's some drinks. And just like we've heard over and over, in her case, she drinks something. Next thing she knows, she wakes up in Cosby's bedroom, not fully clothed, not naked, not fully clothed, and Cosby's trying to insert his penis into her mouth. And she, like, pushes him off, goes to the bathroom, throws up, and then when she walks out, he's not there anymore. I guess he was surprised she came to, maybe ashamed, I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
And that she fled, went to work the next day, and didn't, you know, just said, oh, I was at a Cosby party and had this weird look on her face, and people averted their eyes to her. And she got a sense that others at her workplace knew Cosby's
MO. Wow. Well, that's the shame of it, is that it just seems like, and as you say, because a lot of these women were in the entertainment business, and it, of course, would add to that why he would think they'd never said anything. Because, A, as you said, no one will ever believe me, and I'll never work again in this business. He's too powerful.
We've seen so many aspiring models, aspiring actresses. That's who he took advantage of in numerous cases. And when he didn't, when it was Andre Constan, that was the woman who worked at Temple University, she wasn't an actress. She was a woman who was a professional. She's the one that went to the district attorney's office in 2005 about the allegation, and he didn't prosecute, but she filed a civil lawsuit in 2005, which really got the ball rolling. Mm. And had 13 Jane Doe women who were going to come forward.
And she was one of them.
Including Christina Rulli.
Yeah.
Really.
The 13 women.
Right. Yeah, and you write the important thing that we keep talking about. The fact that so many women have come forward to reveal these allegations has, in a sense, created a support network for these women. It's no longer a story of victimhood, but one of empowerment. They're now, in essence, a sisterhood joined together by a vile incident. And interesting, tell us what she said when you asked if she thought a Cosby would ever come forward.
Right, she said, do you think Cosby will... I asked her, do you think Cosby will come forward? And she laughed. She goes, he doesn't have the balls. She actually says he's got a dick, but no balls.
Well, it was kind of funny. Okay, we had to dump that.
Can't really say the D word.
No, can't say that.
No.
Okay.
Was that, she meant that in the sense of Dick Cheney.
Yeah,
okay.
That's it.
All right. So, I mean, you know, it's interesting. She said she's thrilled that the LAPD has, you know, Friday has opened up an investigation now into the Judy Huth. Is this, mm-hmm. She said that Cosby forced her to perform oral sex when she was only 15. But she also said she feels it's unlikely he's going to be prosecuted criminally.
She does. And while there wasn't room in the article at the time, she also was really kind of annoyed at Gloria Allard bringing the civil lawsuit.
All right, yeah.
She knew exactly what that was going to result in, this backlash and undermining of the credibility of other women who are saying, you see, it's all about money. That's what they're about. And that's what Christina told me, that she had just been on taping for CNN on the Friday before this. It was her and, like, Barbara Bowman and P.J. Masterson, the former Playboy Bunny, who all said, we don't want money. We absolutely don't want money. And we're all annoyed that Gloria Allred is filing this lawsuit. It's way outside of the statute of limitations. Gloria Allred knows it's outside the statute of limitations, the lawyer, and is actually asking Bill Cosby to waive the statute of limitations. And to them, it's a bad, you know, she used to be a lawyer, Christina. She knows there's no good faith in bringing a lawsuit like that when it's outside the statute of limitations this many years. And turns us into a true circus, and no longer about the allegations, but it gives people some ability to defend Cosby again. Go, you see, they want money, and that's not what they want. These women want justice. It's clear when I talk to Christina that it's about justice. It's about protecting other women going through a certain similar circumstance. And, you know, we live in a country where literally every 2 minutes, statistically, a woman's a victim of sexual assault.
And she made it.
Groping to mm-hmm. rape. I mean, it can go the whole gambit, but every 2 minutes, things are happening to women
right.
in our country.
And, Dean, she made a point, which, you know, she said that this case that was settled, right, it was 2005, it was settled in 2006, and it was covered extensively at that time by the national media, may have saved many other women from a similar fate. She noted there have been no other known incidents post that not 2005 lawsuit.
And that's a really good point. And that really shows that perhaps that was a wake-up call for Bill Cosby, because it was covered by People Magazine and certain other publications. And these 13 women had joined together. It was no longer one woman against Cosby. I think his lawyers, and I'm a former lawyer, if he was my client, I would have told him, buddy, I don't know what you did, but you better never do this again. That's all I'm telling you. And the reason we haven't heard from Andrea Constant is that she signed a release from Bill Cosby, which
right.
definitely included a gag order or non-disclosure about not only the money, but not talking about this case. And Christina told me that as well, that that's why she hasn't gone forward. And I spoke to a radio host of another show who said he emailed Andrea Constant and said, I can't publicly speak, but I certainly support these women going forward.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for that lawsuit settling, she would be going forward. So I think that lawsuit actually saved some women from a similar fate.
Speaking of sad days in comedy, you also wrote about Colbert leaving. December 18th is the last Colbert report.
We're changing. I'm going to go to my comedy voice. Well, you know, Colbert, that's going to be a big loss for us. I wrote for the CNN an article about goodbye Stephen Colbert, in quotes. Like, next Thursday, December 18th, Stephen Colbert, the person, retires Stephen Colbert, the character. It's gone. That's it. We won't see that character. The character we've loved, this character that got him famous, is gone when he kicks off on CBS after Letterman retires May 20th. He'll just be Stephen Colbert, the guy. The
yeah.
Right. And you say that, I mean, the character has created a high bar for the guy. And it is an interesting...
I'd like to follow. I mean, honestly, let's be... I like Colbert a great deal. Everyone likes Colbert. Let's be honest. We know the reviews are going to be comparing Stephen Colbert, the character, versus Stephen Colbert, the guy. And if he does great, we won't hear anything. But if it's just slightly less funny or slightly less entertaining, you're going to see critics saying, we miss Stephen Colbert, in quotes. You know, Colbert isn't as funny as Colbert, in quotes. And I'm worried about that. Like, I don't know why he's dropping the character. He can tone down the political angle a little bit if he wanted to, but the character is funny and entertaining and over the top, and it's a blowhard. And why not continue with this great character through your time? I mean, I think it's a great inside joke that he's continuing.
I've forgotten some of the, you listed some of his greatest lines. Why would we go to war on women? They don't have any oil. Yeah, this is great. If we don't cut expensive things like Head Start, child nutrition programs, and teachers, what sort of future are we leaving for our children? I mean, you're right. Just
these are good jokes.
Brilliant.
Much, much better in the character of Colbert.
Right.
Like, you know, that's... And part of it, in my mind, I'm going to be honest. I mean, Rush Limbaugh came out really hard against CBS when they hired Colbert, and I quoted my article. He said, you know, this is an attack on the heartland and an attack on conservatism. And I think CBS was scared. They heard words like that. And, you know, this show, Letterman, makes about $170 million in ad revenue in 2013 for the network.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, we have to keep the Heartland safe for just Rush Limbaugh values.
Yeah, great.
Well,
right.
You know,
Colbert's only on his first marriage and does not have a drug addiction. So, yeah, I can see where that's not Heartland values.
To Colbert, I think it signs off with the President Obama interview. I think is the one. I'm not sure if that's the one that wraps up December 18th. I'm looking forward to seeing Colbert on the show. I think it's going to be great. I just, you know, and I did want, I mean, honestly, I scoured the internet. I found some interviews of Stephen Colbert as himself talking about things, and it was vastly different from Stephen Colbert, the character. It's going to be a wake-up call for a lot of people. Not that he's not immensely talented, he is.
Yeah, well, I'm wishing him well. I'm rooting for him because I think he's brilliant. He will find subversive ways to do things, I think.
Anyone who pisses off Rush Limbaugh makes me even more happy.
Yes.
There you go. All right, Dean, great stuff. Talk to you next week, honey.
Take care.
All right, there he goes, Dean Oblady Oblada.
Yeah.
38 minutes after the hour, running late on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I am shocked. Shocked. Well, not that shocked.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 53 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jackie Schechter coming up on the phone next hour. Jody Hamilton live in studio with us. Hour number three. John in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, you know, these torture memos are a slap in the face to anybody who served in World War II, and particularly people who litigated Nuremberg, because the principle that this is a crime against humanity came out of Nuremberg trials, that, you know, civilians cannot be tortured by their, you know, by their government, and that's wrong. I mean, it's not just even a war crime. It's a crime against humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And
John,
it's a very serious allegation. And the reason I say it's a crime against humanity, because it's not just a few people that perpetrated this. This was part of Dick Cheney and George Bush's, it was systemic.
Policy,
policy.
I mean, John, you've heard me mention my dad was obviously a prosecutor at Nuremberg. So since you brought up the Hitler analogy first, and I can't be blamed for it, let me just say it's interesting because someone brought this up about, this wouldn't be politically popular to prosecute the Bush administration. Like, well, I don't know what the polling was in Germany, but maybe it wasn't popular to prosecute the Nazis right away, you know?
Of course it wasn't, but, you know, this is a very serious thing, and we have to talk about history. I'm sorry. These principles were supported by our government and either we're going to follow them or we're hypocrites.
Right.
And I think that the Bush administration needs to be prosecuted, and I ask every one of your listeners to call their congressmen and say that, and call NGOs and any other organizations that they're involved with to say, you know, this is what we want, because, you know, we have a right to that. I don't want to live in a world where people can be tortured.
Yeah, I hear you. Yep, exactly. Exactly right. You know who disagrees would be Dick.
Cheney.
Yes. Oddly, he went on Fox News last night.
Yeah.
Where, by the way, did you see Britt Baer texted?
He did.
Tweeted us yesterday and said, do you actually watch my show? To which you could reply, yes, I do.
No. Britt Baer knows that I watch his show.
Oh, okay.
That was in reply to someone else who included us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you were asking him to perhaps engage in some real
journalism
last night.
Yeah. You know what? There weren't a whole lot of follow. There was an attempt or two at a follow-up question, you know, challenging him on something, but it was mostly just lobbing softballs and letting Dick Cheney pontificate.
Right. Was there a question like how does it feel being a war criminal? Something like that.
There was nothing like that. No.
All right, Dick Cheney again.
What happened here was that we asked the agency to go take steps and put in place programs that were designed to catch the bastards who killed 3,000 of us on 9/11 and to make sure it didn't happen again. And that's exactly what they did, and they deserve a lot of credit, not the kind of condemnation that they're receiving from the Senate Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did I mention Travis? Get me Valerie Plame. I saw her on the TV last night. She might have some thoughts on that. And Dick Cheney's thoughts on all that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Igor.
Kurt in Florida. Hello.
Igor.
Exactly my point. Kurt in Florida. Hey, Kurt.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have to agree with your last caller. This CIA report, we need to open our eyes as Americans. This is just the tip of the iceberg of what the secret society of America do in the name of America. If anyone is putting us at risk around the world, it's them and the way they torture people. And then we look at a person like Eric Snowden, who tried to let America know, hey, this is what your government is doing to you, and we want to persecute him. Does anybody believe that if he come back to America, he will get a fair trial? I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I think he would probably be put in one of those dark holes.
Wait, you're talking about Edward Snowden?
Yes. I'm talking about the way he tried to let us know what our government is doing.
Okay.
And now we have
But I think there's a great deal of difference between people that ordered war crimes. Don't you?
Well, I do, but I also have to look at where is it going next. There's just too much secrecy.
I take your point, but I just think again.
Well, the government needs a certain amount of
secrecy. When you're talking about international war crimes that were ordered by the Bush administration, it's just I get what he's saying.
Yeah.
Bobby in North Carolina. Hi, Bobby. Real quick.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead. 30 seconds.
Listen, I haven't heard anyone talking about those enlisted soldiers that were sent to jail from Abu Ghraib for following orders.
Yeah.
When I was in the military, you were told that if you were given an order by your commander or...
You follow it. That's right. You got to get who gave the orders.
That's right.
Right? 58 minutes after the hour, back with Jackie Schechter, Jody Hamilton, much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Liz tweets, please stop playing Cheney drops. I scare my dog when I yell you so loud. All right, Liz. Everybody gentle down. He does make people emotional.
He does.
Dick does. Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
In the interview yesterday with Britt Baer, he was so sure of himself. You know, he didn't believe.
That's what's so infuriating.
Yeah, that he didn't believe that he was doing anything wrong by ordering this.
Yeah, it's not an opinion question. That's the difference. You know, as we were saying, we can see the difference between partisan witch hunts like Benghazi that the Republican in charge of the last, what was that, the sixth committee just found no wrongdoing, between that and war crimes, international war crimes. I mean, look at the reaction around the world to this. I mean, it's, and there you have Dick Cheney, like, this is just an opinion question. He called the report a bunch of hooey.
Yeah. Although yesterday on Brett Baer, he called it a bunch of crap.
Oh, I see.
He dialed it up a little.
Yeah. To me, every time I see him on TV, he's admitting to war crimes. He said the program was, that's all a bunch of hooey. The program was authorized. The agency did not want to proceed without authorization. That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
He's admitting that is the moment when he said, I ordered the code red.
Yeah.
And then he says, like, what he always says, like, about Iraq and everything else. If I had to do over again, yes, I would. Yes, I would. I'd do it again. Dick Cheney on Fox News.
I guess partly what really bugs me as I watch all this process unfold is the men and women of the CIA did exactly what we wanted to have them do in terms of taking on this program. We said, we've got to go use enhanced techniques, and we're going to find out. And we've got Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who's the mastermind of 9/11, who has killed 3,000 Americans, taken down the World Trade Center, hit the Pentagon, would have taken out the White House or the Capitol building, if, in fact, they hadn't been for the passengers on United 93. He is... in our possession. We know he's the architect. And what are we supposed to do? Kiss him on both cheeks and say, please, please, tell us what you know. Of course not.
Oh, don't
we
be patronizing.
We did exactly what needed to be done in order to catch those who were guilty on 9/11 and to prevent a further attack. And we were successful on both parts.
Right. Because that was the choice. That was what everybody was saying is
either,
let's kiss him on both cheeks.
Either
those are the
kiss
only
him,
choices.
Yeah. Either kiss him or shove a tube up his butt.
Right. With
those are the only
and
choices.
Raisins
yeah.
And okay, and as we've said, until we were blue in the face, ironically, what if it's so effective, why would he need to be waterboarded 183 times?
Exactly.
And it is complete crap, to coin your phrase,
or
Dick,
hooey.
Yes, that we got information that was this is exactly the whole point of the report. And as I think Carl said, it echoes all the other reports.
Yeah.
It is not effective. Not that should even be part of the equation. We shouldn't do it because it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
One more.
I think he knew certainly the techniques.
Bush.
That we
Bush.
Did discuss the techniques. There's nothing, there was no effort on our part to keep him from that. He was just as with the terror surveillance program. On the terror surveillance program, he had to personally sign off on that every 30 to 45 days. So the notion that the committee's trying to peddle it, somehow the agency was operating on a rogue basis and we weren't being told or the president wasn't being told, it was just a flat-out lie.
Ah, all right, so you're that's just more information for the Hague, so yes, you, okay.
That just more implicates him.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's that hubris that you remember, that just arrogance, that moral certainty.
That he has no clue that what he is doing is horrific.
Yeah. And if I have to hear that one more time, enhanced techniques, like when you go to the, you know, the manicurist, would you like with the extra paraffin? Would you like the enhanced?
The what?
Paraffin wax. If you want, like, do you want the deluxe manicure and pedicure, or just the regular?
Is that like putting rhinestones on your nails?
Whatever. No. It's,
would you like the rhinestones?
Would you like the bedazzling?
I know nothing about manicures, so.
Sue, of course not. Look at you.
I know.
Ugh, they're like
these
bear
are
claws.
Bear claws.
Sue in Rockville. Hello, Sue.
Hey, good morning. You know, maybe Cheney hadn't let Bin Laden go at Tora Bora and did kiss him on both cheeks and let him escape. Maybe none of this needed to happen.
Don't forget to write. See ya.
So always go back to the beginning. Listen, I want to throw something at you guys, which I think I make a relevant connection and maybe other people will. But, you know, right now we've been going through a real crisis in the country because of the excessive force and murder of innocent people by cops, because we say we deserve justice. We deserve trials. The Eric Garner case, that we ask for a trial. Now, the same morality, I can't breathe, is a great hashtag and slogan. Maybe we need one that says America can't breathe, because we need justice. We need accountability. And we understand that the same mentality that defends cops unilaterally.
Yeah.
The same screwed up mind.
Right. Yeah, we give the death penalty for selling untaxed cigarettes, and Dick right. Cheney can go on TV after committing war crimes mm-hmm. with impunity.
Exactly. And so we demand justice, whether it's justice for one man who was killed by a chokehold, which, by the way, I would use a chokehold on Dick Cheney. But as Travis very rightly pointed out, he actually doesn't live by oxygen in normal human function. We defend one, and we also defend.
All right, the Stephanie Miller Show does not advocate putting Dick Cheney in a chokehold.
But no. Stephanie, I do need to tell you one thing mm-hmm. because Dave in Minneapolis and I are brother and sister from different mothers.
Yes.
And if you're ever desperate, we need to be on the happy hour together with you. Come in.
Let's do it.
And let's do it.
All right, Sue. So speaking of Stephanie Miller Show characters, it's my Tony in L.A.
Hey, Tony.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, honey.
Okay, I was going to do two things. First, I want to declare that I'm a hoe, but I'm a H-E-A-U-X hoe.
Okay? I kind of that classes it up a little bit.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Right, I keep it classy.
That's right.
But anyway, speaking of hoes, with the whole Bill Cosby thing, obviously he is like a sleazebag beyond belief. I really respect those women that brought the charges. Some of the women that are stepping up later, I got a problem with some of them, because my whole thing, how long has Bill Cosby been married? I mean, some women,
forever.
Don't get me wrong, I'm an advocate for women. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
But some women are hoes. My thing is, if he's married, you know, he's
right, but,
whatever.
Yeah, but these women were allegedly raped, Tony. They were drugged and raped. That's not, you know,
that really
to
wasn't
do with
their
behavior.
If you are going to his hotel room at night thinking you're getting an internship, let's be real. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not.
We're on a very thin line here, Tony.
Pardon me?
We're on a very, very thin line here, you and I.
A thin line, but some of them, come on now. And then the whole thing, I wanted to talk about the torture thing. Just like what you and Sue just said is so true. My point is, if liberals and progressives are going to be liberals and progressives, prove it.
Yeah,
because this can't keep going on. That's what I'm just saying. It's hypocrisy to the highest degree. And either we're going to stand up and do what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Or you're just going to keep laying there, because progressives and liberals have been around since slavery.
Yeah, there you go.
Still
all
here.
Right. All right. Thank you, honey. Josh Earnest had some thoughts on Dick Cheney. There he is.
He's also somebody that predicted that that American troops would be welcomed as liberators in Iraq. So he's got not a particularly strong track record when it comes to articulating a policy that this president believes is in the best interest of the country.
And then Mitch McConnell was playing the both sides do it, and everybody, that's all just political
mm-hmm.
witch hunts, everybody. He speculated the motive behind the release of the report had little to do with a desire for transparency. He said it served absolutely no purpose other than the one last thumb in the eye of the Bush administration. Really? The Bush administration is the one that gave America a black eye. This was just the thumb in the eye. Yeah.
You know, if the Democrats wanted to hurt the Republicans and the Bush administration, like Mitch McConnell says, wouldn't they have released this report before the election
right.
rather than after the election?
Right.
Releasing it after the election renders it completely non-political.
Look at how they just dismiss this. Like, it served no purpose other than to confirm what we already knew, that certain techniques were used on a few people. Really? That's how you, if you read this report, that's how you
certain illegal
that.
Techniques
yeah.
that were authorized
which
by the White
House.
Which
resulted in the death of some of them, and many of whom turned out to be not related to terrorism at all.
Right.
Senator Mark Udall on the Senate floor yesterday.
So while the study clearly shows that the CIA's detention interrogation program itself was deeply flawed, the deeper, more endemic problem lies in a CIA assisted by a White House that continues to try to cover up the truth.
And because what he means, you know, for the president
Brennan.
Administration.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. And I agree with him. I think he needs to go. He said the CIA's lies have been, he said they're still, obviously they're still lying because they refuted this report.
Yeah.
And he called on the president to purge his administration of CIA officials who were involved in the interrogation report. I agree with him. He said it's bad enough not to prosecute these officials, but to reward and promote them is incomprehensible. The president needs to purge his administration.
The president needs to purge his administration of high-level officials who are instrumental to the development and running of this program.
I agree.
And he said one more
Director thing. Brennan. and the CIA today are continuing to willfully provide inaccurate information and misrepresent the efficacy of torture. In other words, the CIA is lying.
And there's there's nobody who tells the truth more than a senator who's about ready
to leave. Yeah. He said that, and this is what I was talking about earlier, a never-released CIA report began under the previous director, Leon Panetta, in fact supported many of the Senate's findings in this current report, but he said the CIA sought to bury it. Huh, I wonder why. Mm-hmm. Even taking the inflammatory step of spying on Senate staffers to find out how they gained access to it. Yeah, he's absolutely right. And there he is, what's his name, former CIA Director Michael Hayden, saying he didn't lie. I didn't lie and I didn't mislead Congress about the brutal nature of the interrogation. I mean, give me a break. Just read this report. I don't know that the report was released yesterday. Is that historically accurate? Really? It reads like a prosecutorial screed rather than a historical document. Okay.
I don't see anything screedy about it.
Yeah. Asked if Americans have the right to be appalled by the revelations in the report, he said he didn't know. He added, it's probably a good thing the public knows now what efforts the CIA was making on its behalf. Well, it's a good idea the public knows that those are illegal. I mean, it just...
Right.
It's just, I love that every issue becomes just, oh, both sides do it, and what's your opinion on this? You know, this is why it's international law.
The only person who would call that a screed is someone who is feeling guilty.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Jackie Schechter coming up at the bottom of the hour, 19 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
In a perfect world, there would be no right-wing talk radio. Until then, there's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
From a location midway between the loudspeakers. This sequence is repeated several times.
Look at the baby Fred.
He's not a baby. just putting that, he is not a baby.
He's a baby. Look at his teeth. Okay, 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1, to the phone. He wanted you to see how good his teeth is. Like, okay, 1-800-STEPH-1, to the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jackie Schechter coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Usually when a dog shows you his teeth, he's not happy.
No, he's handsome and romantic and he has nice teeth.
All right.
Okay, Jackie Schechter coming up at the bottom of the hour. Right-wing tool Peter King, OG, torture defender, here he is.
I don't believe these are torture at all. For instance, waterboarding, there were medical personnel present during the whole time.
Oh, okay.
It creates tremendous discomfort, there's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. It creates tremendous fear. But the fact is there was no lasting damage to these people, and we got information from them, which is very helpful.
Yeah.
We're not talking about anyone being burned or stabbed or cut or anything like that. We're talking about people made to stand in awkward positions, have water put into their nose, into their mouth. But again, nobody suffered any lasting injuries.
Right, he was last seen arguing, as we know, that Eric Garner killed himself by being fat and just standing there. There was no, okay. Okay, the report actually, also FYI, GTK, the report also found torture was ineffective in obtaining valuable information, so they should stop repeating that lie, first of all. I love that. That's the only burned or stabbed or cut. That's really?
Sure.
Yeah, because that's not what the international law says torture is.
Oh, by the way,
yes.
Remember when I asked last hour why the Senate Intelligence Committee didn't talk to anybody in the CIA to get their side of the story?
Yes.
CIA told nobody to talk to this committee.
Oh.
That's why.
Well, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Okay. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Rob in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rob.
Okay. The report actually, also FYI, GTK, the report also found torture was ineffective in obtaining valuable information, so they should stop
repeating
that lie, first of all. burned or stabbed or cut.
This is you.
Really?
What is going on?
I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand what's going
you
on.
You're talking to yourself. Oh, my God. You were answering yourself.
Is it vacation yet?
What the hell
what
was
the hell?
That?
Steve in New York. Oh. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Stephanie. Love your show.
Thank you.
I voted for Obama twice, truck driver, but I just keep on prosecuting Bush and Cheney for war crimes. Once Obama gets out of office, he'd be at risk to be prosecuted for these drone strikes. Like, a lot of innocent people have been killed, just bystanders, let alone some Americans. You know, they turn it, if the Republicans get the White House, they wouldn't hesitate to go after him. I don't think he's going to do anything.
I'm missing your point. Right. The Obama administration is not going after them on this. Your point is...
No president has ever gone after any president for any misdoings. I mean...
Like, you're talking Gerald Ford going after...
Iran-Contra or whatever,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
He came apart.
Right.
He was clearly guilty. And, you know, these guys have committed war crimes. Yeah, nothing's going to be done. That's what I...
Well, yeah, sadly, I agree with you, but yeah. I'm saying I don't think it's right, and I do think this is different. You know, it just... It just is. Okay. Eddie in North Carolina. Hello, Eddie. Welcome.
Well, getting back to what this guy, gentleman was just saying, how are you going to see, I mean, I understand you're sitting here saying that this is torture, but the Obama administration is killing with these drone strikes that killed 340 innocent people, including American citizens, okay, without due process of...
Why do I get the feeling that you're not actually concerned about civilians being killed in drone strikes?
Oh, I am. Believe me.
Okay.
I do not condone any kind of drone strike,
right,
against
that's, so that's civilian casualties well. Can be wrong, and torture that's can be right. Wrong as well, right? But obviously, the difference is civilian Okay. All right. You're not going to let me talk. Civilian casualties are obviously not intended. Torture
right.
was ordered and intended.
On these particular people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bob in Asheville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, Chris. Hope your cat's doing well, Chris.
He's doing better. Thank you.
Good. Listen, I've always been a fan and respect Colin Powell tremendously out of this whole batch, and I'm hoping this will push him over the limit, and he will eventually want to distance himself from this whole band of criminals and have a tell-all, and no one's
yeah.
on his side yet, but anyway, that's what I want
yeah,
to
he
see.
Yeah, he should write a new book. I did blow my top. 29 minutes after the hour, Jackie Schechner next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'll go outside and make snow angels.
Lie face down, and your beautiful smile will be molded into the snow.
Okay.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Jody Hamilton live in studio next hour. Very, very exciting. She is fascinating. 1-800.
She is fascinating.
Right? 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Why, look who's on the phone. Why, just creeping in under the cover of night.
And probably still under the covers in her jammies.
Yeah,
also news. I do. I think she gets up in the night and burns the lights.
Yep, yep, yep.
The only one who didn't fail and got it right was Jackie Schechner.
Yay!
She does the news.
Good morning, Jackie Schechner.
Good morning. I feel like you have a spy cam in my bedroom.
You have a what?
A spy cam.
Yes,
a
exactly.
A spy cam in my bedroom.
Are you under the covers in your jammies?
I am under the covers.
On behalf of America's men, what are you wearing?
I'm not going to share that.
Fine. Jackie, we obviously, it's all torture all the time. Let's talk. I was saying that.
Exciting.
Yeah. It just, to me, this whole, like, both sides do it, and everything's an opinion. There's no facts, whether it's about the Affordable Care or anything else. And here we are, right? You know, Dick Cheney's just offering his opinion on what's a war crime and what's not, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a little sketch to me. I mean, let's not go back to the people who committed these atrocities and ask them what their opinion is on them. I think we know. I mean, I think once you do it, we
yeah.
know where you stand on it. But it's difficult. I mean, I know that this kind of information is necessary to know what's going on. We can't allow our government to operate in secret. But I do understand that it puts us in a delicate position in the eyes of the rest of the world.
Well,
and I'm not
yeah.
sure in times of contention and war, and when we are, of course, trying to fight these elements of terror overseas, how this is helpful at this moment. I just don't know. And I don't know because I don't work in the intelligence community.
So yeah, I think, first of all, they know, trust me, they know we tortured, mm-hmm. you know, I agree with these UN experts and Human Rights Watch that this should be prosecuted. And maybe I come from a very strong point of view because my dad was a prosecutor at Nuremberg, and I don't know what's changed about what, you know, why it is, nobody has yet been able to answer the question, why did we execute Japanese soldiers who did it to us in World War II? Right.
Yeah, I mean, it seems that we have a very strange double standard going on here. And yeah. I look, if you said to me that these sort of interrogation tactics were the only way to protect American citizens, right, the only way to garner this sort of information, to me, I say, okay, then we have a very serious conversation about where the line is. But if you're telling me we had a report that said Osama bin Laden determined to attack the U.S., an actual report that wasn't read,
right?
That then we ended up with the largest terrorist attack on U.S. soil ever, and then this is the aftermath of it. It's like, maybe you should read the report.
As U.N. High Commissioner said, in all countries, if someone commits murder, they are prosecuted and jailed. If they commit rape or armed robbery, they're prosecuted and jailed. If they order, enable, or commit torture recognized as a serious international crime, they cannot be simply granted impunity because of political expediency. I don't know if you read a lot of the details of the report, Jackie, but just horrifying.
Well, some of it, yeah. I mean, I obviously didn't go all the way through, but I did read some of the summaries that were out about what was going on, and just because it's horrific and horrifying, and I'm not so sure I need all of that information running around in my brain. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what goes on in those circumstances. I just would like to know that it was valuable in some way if you're gonna do something like that. And it doesn't seem like we garnered all that much from it.
Yeah.
So what's the point other than allowing people to run amok in that sort of environment and do horrible things to other people?
Did you read this part too? Contractors were paid $81 million to do the CIA's dirty work. According to the report, a lot of the dirty work was outsourced to a pair of contractors. Who came up with the program. Their company was paid $81 million
right.
before the program was terminated. Neither psychologist had experience as an interrogator, nor did they have specialized knowledge of Al-Qaeda background in terrorism or any relevant regional, cultural, or linguistic experience. Incredible, right? Just another...
Okay, that seems shady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like mob ties at that point.
Yeah.
You know, get those guys in here, like,
ew,
okay.
Oh, by the way, did you see my favorite, who was it, Chris, on Fox News? Somebody on Fox News, of course, said that this release of this report was to distract from Obamacare, Jonathan Gruber testifying, right?
Oh, my goodness, really?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody wrote on Facebook, it was really smart, it was like, show me the last time a professor didn't bloviate a little bit. Like, the Gruber stuff is so overblown, He's a professor, he's an academic, he misspoke in an academic environment. These people need a little bit of media training, they need to learn how to keep their mouth shut. If you don't want it broadcast on the front page of a newspaper, don't say it in public.
I know who a good media trainer is.
Well, that's exactly the point. I'm happy to help.
Exactly.
Go to Jackie, she'll tell you how to not stick your foot in your mouth.
Keep our mouth shut. It's not that you're hiding anything. It's just that everything you say, if you work on something as delicate as the Affordable Care Act, and you know that it's a charged political environment, keep your mouth shut. Because everything you say is going to be viewed and misinterpreted.
He said exactly what you said last time you were in here, Jackie, that, you know, I am not a political expert. I misspoke. I've said something stupid. Like, I mean, exactly.
Yeah, I've had a lot of conversation recently just in my private life about the Affordable Care Act and where it stands and what people believe. And I think the most frustrating thing for me overall is that how political this became and continues to be. And I think one thing that people who use our medical system, which eventually will be everybody, right, but our health insurance system and the medical industrial complex, is that accidents and illness don't discriminate based on your political affiliation. So everybody goes through the system, and everybody encounters the same frustration. So to me, the fact that the fight became political is the saddest part of all, because it should have gone. It's had a bunch of policy experts and healthcare policy wonks in a room and said, figure out the best way to make our system work, period.
Yep.
And it shouldn't have been Democrats versus Republicans. It never should have been that way. But that's how it is because of the nature of our system.
Yep.
It's frustrating because now everything is nitpicked to detail, and it's not necessarily what's best for the general public.
Yep. Jeff in Minnesota.
The doctors or the nurses.
Yeah.
Yep. Jeff in Minnesota, you're on with Jackie. Hello, Jeff.
Good morning, gang. Minnesota loves you guys. That's all I got to say.
Hooray!
Hey, we love Minnesota.
Hey, got to say that Peter King says he's an expert on torture. Did he know what we did to the Japanese after they waterboarded our men?
Yes, we hung them. Correct?
Did Peter King know what they did to the Japanese after they waterboarded our men in World War II?
I'm sure he does, but he didn't mention it because it doesn't fit his side of the narrative.
Right, right. That's what you're going to hear out of the right wing over and over.
Mm-hmm.
It's good as long as it's not done to our men. If it was done to our men, I'll tell you, the public would go crazy.
Yeah, yeah, and I love Jackie that did you hear Dick Cheney say this? It was like everything that's ever been, you know, it's always just a political witch hunt if it's against Republicans. He dismissed Iran-Contra too, like that was nothing too. That was just a political, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we have this really interesting revisionist history going on. And
you either disappear it, right, the history that you don't like, or you whitewash it.
Well, here's the incredible irony, right? Is everybody screaming about Jonathan Gruber saying it has to do with the ignorance of the American public, right? Or not the ignorance of the American public, but I guess the word he used was stupidity, right? That people not kind of knowing what's going on. But he's not that far-fetched in general, because if you think about it, if the American public was more tuned in, then Dick Cheney couldn't get away with statements like that. People don't study history. They don't necessarily pay attention to what's going on in the news. I mean, your audience does, obviously, because they listen to your show, so they're politically engaged.
They're the smartest in the world. Yes.
Yeah, but not everybody does. And, you know, especially living in Los Angeles, I have to say that I'm discovering here, it's not like D.C.
Yeah.
People, you know, people don't pay attention to the news and current events and politics the way they do back east. And frankly, you can get away with a lot because people just believe what's circulating. They don't necessarily go back and do their homework because they don't want to. They've got other stuff going on.
Yeah.
So I think that when Dick Cheney gets up and makes comments like that, he thinks he can get away with it because people don't bother to do any sort of research.
Yeah, yeah, probably. Kelly in Albuquerque, you're on with Jackie. Hello, Kelly.
Hi. I was just wondering. Oh, good morning, everybody. I'm sorry.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I was wondering if somebody would ask some of these supporters of enhanced interrogation, when does this become effective? I mean, you waterboarded somebody 187 times. Shouldn't it be effective, like, after 10 times?
Yeah.
After 20 times? After 50 times, when does this become effective? I mean, they're saying it's working, but they can't really demonstrate that it's working.
And the whole basis of this is a bunch of crap, Kelly, because they got the information before they waterboarded, and they already had the information.
Bye. That just makes me so sad and weird.
That makes you sad and weird. All right. just like the Bush administration. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, Jackie, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, she's totally right. And it's the same thing I would imagine with, like, police interrogation, right? If you push and push and push and somebody just gets so frustrated, they just say what you want to hear because they just don't want to be interrogated anymore.
Right.
And I think that happens a lot. I watch a lot of Law and Order. I know these things.
No. Yeah, exactly. Well, and John McCain, who knows a little something about it, said the same thing, you know, that you will do anything to make it stop. You'll say anything.
Right, and it's like, okay, maybe if I just say this, they'll stop trying to drown me again.
Right.
So she's totally right. If you show proof that this is actually effective, that's one thing. And if it's not effective, then you're just, it's just sick torture. And,
yep.
And it's just for the sake of torture. There's no other purpose.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, a lot of this was clearly, you know, punitive. And what was the rectal feeding thing? Like,
sociopathic is what it is.
You know, change their behavior or whatever. It's like, please. Beverly in Atlanta, you're on with Jackie. Hello, Beverly.
Stephanie, hey Jackie, so good to talk to you. I wanted, before I talk to you about the enhanced interrogation techniques, may I give a shout out to my brother?
Yes.
He just won a month ago the Trailblazer Award at the Out and Equal Conference in San Francisco.
Oh, congratulations.
Hooray.
Yay, I am so proud of him. And as a Naval Academy grad and all he went through because he couldn't even get security clearance because of his lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenal, phenomenal story. And we are so proud of him down here in the deep south, okay?
Awesome.
And what I wanted to talk to you all about that I think is extremely strange, and Jackie being the media wonk that you are, I'm having trouble right now trying to figure out how in the world, without torture, that Bush received the presidential debriefing on August the 6th, 2001 saying bin Laden determined to strike in the U.S. I have a feeling that information was gathered with no torture.
Mm-hmm.
Bush got it. And I know that they kind of blatantly refused to believe Richard Clark when he left the Clinton administration and he said, watch out.
Yeah. He said hair on fire. This is the biggest threat we're going to face, Jackie. I mean, that's actually a good point. That was probably the best intelligence we ever got, if only he'd read it.
Right? Yeah, that's what I said earlier.
Yeah.
We had that information. He didn't read it. And now, after the fact, we're looking for information. It's like, well, the report was right in front of you. Like, what do you need? Do you need flashcards? Like, what do we need here?
Yes, in the case of George W. Bush, yes, he does need flashcards. All right, Jackie Schechter remains with us. We continue 47 minutes after the hour of The Stephanie Miller Show.
Documenting the apocalypse and making it sound fun. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jackie Schechter. Formerly our Current TV. By the way, thank God there was no hack of our emails like at Sony when we were at Current together, because this is embarrassing. Have you seen?
They weren't racial. They were probably sexual.
Yeah.
Yes, my emails to Jackie were all. Anyway, Jackie, my point is, these are embarrassing. This just gets worse and worse, right?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, they really, really hate Adam Sandler films, which, you know, at least they have good taste. But, the latest.
I'm not ever planning to have Adam Sandler on the show.
No. I don't think so. Yeah, according, good God. Yeah, some of the reveal jokes about Obama and race.
Mm-hmm.
According to BuzzFeed, Amy Pascal is the
co-chair,
right. Asked Scott Rudin, he's the producer, I guess, advice before going to an Obama fundraiser. What should I ask him at this stupid Jeffrey breakfast meeting? Jeffrey
Katzenberg.
Would he like to finance some movies, responded Rudin. Pascal said, I doubt it. Should I ask him if he liked Django? Rudin replying, 12 years. Or The Butler. See, because those are all black movies, so that's... Yeah.
Or Think Like a Man.
Right. Wow.
There's no racism left in this country. Isn't that amazing?
There's no racial problem.
And yesterday the story was about one of the executives calling Angelina Jolie an entitled talentless hack.
Wow.
Hey,
yeah, it's. I mean, people should learn to not use their work email.
Well, also, you know, in this hack, all employees of Sony, their social security numbers are out there for anyone to see. You know, and so it goes beyond just embarrassing emails. It's potentially, you know, dangerous.
Yeah, I mean that, of course.
Yeah.
Also, in terms of, I mean, it is a hack, of course, but. If you're working at a company and you're going to say something that could be questionable,
yeah.
A, you shouldn't be saying that stuff anyway, but B, if you're going to say it, why are you using your company email? Because even if it's not hacked, people don't realize, I guess, that their companies have the right to go in and read their email.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're on a company server and you're using your company email, then they have the right to go in. It's their property.
Absolutely.
They can go in and
by the way, speaking of embarrassing emails, did you see Scott Walker's Hanukkah message?
Was that when he said Molotov?
He said thank you again in Molotov.
Yeah, instead of Mazel Tov.
Yeah, he's precious.
I thought that was like an Onion article.
No, it was true.
In an updated letter, posted by the Capital Times, he wrote to a constituent that he'd be happy to display a menorah at the courthouse. He said, thank you for your letter regarding the menorah display. Yes, we'd be happy to display the menorah celebrating the 8 days of Hanukkah here at the courthouse. Thank you again in Molotov. Oh, boy.
That's wonderful.
Oh, boy. All right.
So well. I'm going to get him 7 instead of 8 Hanukkah presents.
Yeah.
Let's go to Matt in San Francisco. You're on with Jackie. Hi, Matt.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey. Okay, so two things. Number one, so how much does it cost to be able to get a meet and greet for the donation with Chris and Travis.
$1,000.
$1,000. Freespeech.org. Yep. Do it now.
No, but how much to be able to, you know, do inappropriate things to them?
Oh, you can do it. I'll just throw that in for free.
Okay, great.
Okay, awesome.
Okay, so my thing is that this whole, all these Republican talking points about the torture report, like how it's going to make us less safe and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
They think that ISIS woke up yesterday thinking, oh, now I'm mad. Like,
right.
Now I'm angry.
Right. Now I'm going to be a bastard. Yeah. I was soft-pedaling it before, but now I'm really going
to
be a bastard.
From Monday to Tuesday, Al-Qaeda and all the terrorist organizations were just like, oh, now they've crossed the line.
Right.
Now I'm so true. There's no difference from anything. I mean, come on. Really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously, people.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Matt. Very good. All right.
Did you just pimp Travis and me out?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What is wrong with you?
I pimp Jackie out like nobody's business when she's in here. Eye candy, eye candy, eye candy. The brain's just, you know what, just comes with it. All right.
I don't see any of that money. Do you see any of that money?
I don't see any of that money. I get a free lunch. That's about it.
Kevin and Dylan.
A water bottle? Didn't I get a water bottle?
You did get a water bottle. Listen, come on, everybody. No I in team.
It's the hydrate after you pimped me out.
Yeah.
Kevin in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Kev.
Hey, Steph, how are you doing today?
Good, sir.
Listen, you know, back in the 1990s, Slobodan Milosevic, he hired out militias to conduct genocide, open rape camps, what have you, to wipe out the Bosnian and Croatian Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
He did that, you know, to give his Yugoslavian government plausible deniability. So, really, what is the difference between what he did and Cheney hiring out contractors to do the dirty work of our country? I mean, it's disgusting.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was saying, I mean, Jackie, that's the same thing as Blackwater, Halliburton, all this stuff, right? The contractors.
Yeah, I mean, who are these contractors in relation to Dick Cheney, too? I mean, that's something to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously
follow the money.
He funneled a lot of money to companies that he had a stake in, or at least Halliburton. So, you know, let's take a look at this, too. I just read he's going to be on one of the Sunday shows. Is it Meet the Press? Or
I think he's going to be on Meet the Press this weekend, yeah.
Yeah, this weekend. You know, it'll be interesting. I mean, we know what he's going to say. He says it's all baloney, but... You know, it's interesting. I don't know how you justify this sort of thing. I mean, people say it made us safer. I don't think it necessarily does. And
by the way, one
proof.
No.
One sliver of good news before we go. Ebola fighters have beaten Putin for Times Person of the Year honor, so that's good news. And then you get your big moment, and you can hardly see your face because it's in that Ebola
mask.
Fighting gear.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Well, the good news is they're at least taking it seriously, and it looks like there's some money in this new spending bill to help combat
Ebola.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. Yeah.
Yay.
Absolutely. We love you, Jackie Schechner.
Go back to sleep.
I love you guys too.
Go back to sleep.
All right.
Now I'm up. Now I start my day.
Okay.
All right. Jody Hamilton next, live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Why, look who's here. It's Jody Hamilton, who is fascinating.
That's what I've been told.
Yes.
Yes.
By
she
you.
She
is delightful. Fascinating. And by popular demand, she joins us live in studio. We don't have a jingle for you yet. Maybe
something hoary.
Jody, 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 do you love me? How about that? How about that, Rocky Mountain Mike? Julie, Julie, Julie. And by the way, first of all, we have to do corrections from the last time before you can move on.
Yes.
Because your mom, Carol Burnett,
right.
Name drop.
Yes. apparently, I got the story all wrong. It was really Phyllis Diller and Jonathan Winters. I don't know why I put my mom in Aunt Judy. I'm kidding.
No.
It's like your mom made out with Phyllis
Diller. No. Okay. So I actually have to put on my old lady glasses.
Okay. All right.
Because I am ancient. I'm older than you, according to my mother.
Oh.
She loves Steph.
I love her. Don't make me cry. Okay, go ahead.
So I was right on some of it. Yeah. Basically what happened, they were in the same hotel. They were all in town. They were in D.C.
Uh-huh.
And they were all in town to do a show,
right,
including Mr. Nichols and Mom and Julie.
Right. Mike Nichols.
Mike Nichols. Right. And Mom and Aunt Julie and my dad. And
Aunt Julie being?
Julie Andrews. Sorry.
Have it. Help us out. We didn't all grow up like you.
I know. Okay. Sorry. Sorry. So they, Julie called my mom, and everybody was in their robes and jammies.
Right.
And fuzzy slippers and things. And uh-huh. So Julie calls,
right,
and she says, Mike's on his way up. He'll be here any minute. Come down. Let's have some cocoa and da-da-da-da.
Right.
So my dad goes down with my mom to Julie and her husband's room, and they're just having cocoa in D.C. in their,
right,
jammies. And so they're doing that, and then she says, oh, wouldn't it be funny if we met him in front of the elevator in our robes and our slippers and our jammies, you know, on, yeah, the settee out front. Oh, yes, that would be hilarious. So they go down there, and they're sitting there, and then Julie suggests that they kiss.
Right.
And my mother says, well, I'm fond of you, but not in that way.
Oh.
And she says, well, we'll just pretend kiss. So the elevator, see the elevator come up, and ding, they start pretending to mac on it. Mom says her nose was actually in Julie's neck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so they're doing this, and this woman who appears to be Lady Bird Johnson and these two guys who seem to be Secret Service,
right,
walk out of the elevator.
Oh, dear. I hate when that happens.
And walk past them, and they don't hear anything. And they finally look up, and Mom's like, oh, good Lord, was that, you know. And the woman comes back down the hall.
Julie Andrews, hot girl on girl pranks gone awry.
Right. So
yes.
So the woman comes back down the hall.
Yeah.
Lady Bird.
Who they believe is Lady Bird Johnson, and says in a very southern drawl, aren't you Carol Burnett? And Mom says, yes, and this here is Mary Poppins. It's like, throw her under the bus.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I was right with the Mike Nichols coming out and just going, hi, girls, and walking down the hall.
Yes,
okay.
He didn't care. So the
he
whole
couldn't have
prank
cared less.
Was just deflated.
Wow.
Yeah, she threw Julie under the bus on that one.
Wow.
That's kind of amazing.
Wow.
Wow.
You know what? I have probably a similar story, but it involves another look besides Coco and not pretend girl on girl.
Real thing.
Was it in the back of a police car? Or no, you were got caught
no,
by a cop.
That
that's
was different.
What is, yeah, that
different.
Was
so that time that your dad caught you kissing your high school football player boyfriend on the couch to the tune of Bread?
The football player was college.
Oh.
No, the high school, not, okay, different.
That was a guy?
Yes.
Okay. I was just wondering
oh,
if you
yes.
embellished it
oh,
over the year.
No,
okay.
Those were the guy years.
Okay.
High school and college?
All right.
You were just experimenting.
It was a phase, obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously.
No, and I asked you, do you have any Bill Cosby stories? And you said apparently you and I are the only two women.
He hasn't.
Yeah.
Raped.
What's wrong with us?
I don't know. We haven't met him.
That was not.
That was wrong. Wrong.
That was wrong.
It was.
Here,
I'm
have some wine and this pill.
That is terrible. That was with the Bugle Singer who said that about, you know, their grade school priest, like, what was wrong with me? Why did he hit on me?
Yeah.
All right, that is terrible.
It's terrible.
Speaking of God, Kim Kardashian said her pregnancy weight gain was God smiting her.
What?
Oh, heavens.
Oh,
yes, she gained a fair amount of weight during her pregnancy. When she was pregnant with Northwest. She explains that she went through that because of God. God smote him. Smote Kim Kardashian for thinking that she was so hot.
Oh, that's why.
She said, I think God was doing this for a reason. He was saying, Kim, you think you're so hot, but look what I can do to you. My body just went crazy. Gawker says, Kim Kardashian believes, first of all, in a vindictive, slut-shaming Old Testament God, apparently.
Apparently.
Yes.
Yeah.
Huh.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Or that's kind of
what happens.
I would assume most women gain weight when they get
pregnant. Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Yeah. Was your mom pregnant on during the show? With
yes, with Aaron.
Oh, okay.
The and first season.
Did they hide it? Or
well,
how did they?
Because the show premiered in September of 67, and my little sister was born
right.
in August of 68.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so she was pregnant for the last half of the first season.
Right.
And the person that noticed first, besides my dad, because she did tell
yeah.
him.
Well, your dad might have was there. Right.
She told him. Bob Mackey. Because she had to be measured for costumes.
Right.
And
right.
she was just getting slightly bigger, so she had to tell him.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, she was for the last half, like, I think they wrapped in May or something, and then the rest of the pregnancy was in the summer. But
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just Aaron.
Oh, right, because, wow, you know, they do all those different things on shows. They're always behind a couch or
a lot of boxes being carried.
Sure.
Or every costume was the curtain thing, so you could just see nothing.
All moo-moos.
Yeah, right, exactly. Let's go to Anita has been holding. She has a great point. Anita in San Antonio, you're on with Jody.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Jody.
Good morning.
I think that whole report was so horrific, but don't you think we should be calling what they did to some of those men what it was, which was rape?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean,
rectal feeding. When have you ever heard of rectal feeding or rectal hydration?
I've never heard of that. That's
the sick, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty sick.
And the broomstick, I guess, was another one of the...
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
And they were threatening them also. Yeah, they were threatening to rape them with broomsticks.
Yeah.
It was something really perverse and, I don't know, sadistic, and it's really... It had nothing to do with getting information.
Right. But, I mean,
it was all about power.
Yeah.
It was all about power.
Right, and punishment. It's torture. I mean, the fact that they even tried to say, oh, well, this is a medical... Really? How old am I? I've never heard of rectal feeding.
Yeah.
An actual meal? They said it was his lunch. It was like hummus and raisins and
something. I can't have hummus again.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Maybe there's some doctors listening. You can't get nutrients through.
It can be absorbed, but it's not as, it's not like a feeding tube down into your stomach by any stretch.
Aren't nutrients, do they?
It can be through your colon, certainly.
Well,
by the way,
isn't rectal hydration, isn't that an enema?
Basically, yeah.
All right, Karen in Chicago, you're on with Jody. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
I just wanted to say I was just engaged in a big Facebook war. Over the whole torture report.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Don't
you
love torture apologists?
I use John Fugelsang's quote about, you can be for torture, you can believe in Jesus, but you can't believe in both.
Yeah.
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 And, the response was, well, in this case, you can, and I received a lot of criticism. But one thing, I posted the YouTube video of John McCain giving his speech. And if people have not listened to the whole thing in its entirety, I urge you to listen to it. It is so moving, so compelling, and I don't care what your political affiliation, I don't know how you cannot listen to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, let's face it. Obviously John McCain speaks with more moral authority than anybody on this issue, but it is amazing, and it's not just this issue. The Republican Party has left him on every issue.
Yep.
Haven't they?
They have.
I mean, comprehensive immigration reform, everything his name's on. Campaign finance.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me.
Yeah.
So I would invite everybody to just listen to it. It's amazing. And then, and pass it on to your Republican friends.
Yep.
They think that this is okay.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Anita. Thank you, honey. David Letterman's last show is set for May 20th.
Yep.
Very sad. 32 years. 32 years of history. Wow. May 20th. It will be his final. How many times has your mom been on?
She did this nose trick. We used to...
She did a stupid human trick?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
What? Really?
Yes.
That's awesome.
She, we used to do this to cleanse your nasal cavity.
Right.
You make like warm water with a little bit of salt in it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you sort of drink it, and then you can
like a neti pot kind of thing.
Yeah, and you can put it out your nose.
Yeah.
Right.
And it helps to clean. She did that.
She did
on Letterman.
But how is that? How is that?
I recall calling her going, "Oh, good Lord.
Good Lord.
Mother.
Mom." At that point, you were like any other daughter, just mom.
I believe I was a teenager, It was just like, no, you didn't just do that, mom.
How is that a trick, though?
I don't know. He's like, I forget how this set, because it was so long
tricks,
ago.
Yeah,
it was like 30 years ago or whatever. So I have no idea what, but I recall it. So if I'm wrong, mother, just let me know and I'll correct next
week.
Okay,
right. Oh, that's right. You'll be back in Tuesday.
That's
so,
right.
I can make corrections all the time.
Presumably your mother's making notes right now.
I'll get notes.
She could also explain why that was funny. Did she look like a fountain? Was it coming out of her nose?
You kind of just bend over.
You don't drown?
No, it's... She waterboarded herself on David Letterman.
In a
nice way.
Okay.
In a non-Sean Hannity way, because he wouldn't even do that.
Now you have to now you'd have to regularly feed yourself on these kind of
now
shows.
Yes, now that's the new thing. She'll do it with Colbert.
All right, 17 minutes after the hour. Jody Hamilton live in studio. We roll along on The Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human fox blocker. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We are joined live in studio by Jody Hamilton, who is delightful. 1-800.
I'm going to just play that every time I walk into a room.
1-800-712 the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Damien in Pennsylvania says, all these allegations about Mr. Cosby suddenly make me think have a Coke and a smile meant something totally different.
Oh,
Damien.
It's like he sold Coke for a time, didn't he?
He did.
Well, Coca-Cola.
Have a Coke with
we
this
We hope
pill.
It wasn't the other thing, but we don't know anymore.
We don't know.
We do not know.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Okay.
He sold a lot of things. He sold Jell-O. He sold Kodak.
Yeah.
He also wonders what one wonders was, what was in the Jell-O pudding pops.
Yeah.
Right. Ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What were the pudding pops
and Jell-O jigglers.
Oh, right. Chet, see, did I ask? I said, I wonder if there's a doctor listening. Chet is a doctor. Hello, Chet.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
How's my favorite sexy liberal?
Pardon me?
How's your favorite sexy liberal?
Oh, I'm fine. Yes. Thank you.
Of which you're in that category.
Aw.
Thank you.
Yes, as a doctor, I can say quite categorically, no, there is no medical evidence or efficacy for rectal hydration or rectal feeding.
Yeah.
And they knew that. I think it was strictly a torture technique.
Yeah.
There is the possibility that they were just too damn dumb to understand that.
Yeah.
Which most of us sort of grasp this whenever we, like, have lunch and then use the toilet afterwards.
Yeah. Well,
but
I mean,
know.
Right, Chet, it's you know, it's exactly what you imply. It's just to imply that any of this is anything other than torture is ridiculous. And that's why I thought, like, I've never even heard of this in my life. Like, oh, well, it can be medically indicated. I'm like, really?
When?
I've never had a doctor suggest shoving hummus and raisins up my ass.
Yeah.
Really?
No, we do not suggest that sort of thing. I can assure you of that. And, you know, I've done a lot of GI tract work in my career, and I must say I've never really come across anybody like that.
Can you absorb nutrients through the colon way?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah.
You do absorb fluids and some electrolytes.
Right.
You certainly don't absorb nutrition.
Okay, but isn't that also, I was joking, but sort of, but isn't that just an enema? What's rectal hydration? If you put water up there, isn't that, I mean, how is that, again?
Pretty much.
Are you absorbing hydration that way? You can't.
No, you'll actually, the colon will actually not like it. It will actually start secreting.
Right.
Right.
So you will give yourself, like, the world's, biggest case of diarrhea, and you'll actually dehydrate yourself that way.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Let me make one other point, too.
Yeah. Listen, all of us that have, on occasion had to do that, even just the picture on the box is humiliating. Like, I have to do what? Oh, I hope this bathroom door locks. This is embarrassing.
Oh, God.
Milk and magnesia usually does it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They know very well how to torture people and give nutrition because they were doing that on Guantanamo Bay when they were force feeding prisoners.
Right.
Well, how do you force feed? That's not, as Chris was saying, is it down their throat or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's down
their
throat.
That's what I thought.
The GI tract sort of works as a one-way system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you shove a tube down their throat.
Right.
And you pour nutrients into their stomach and you hold them down because it's not really comfortable having a tube shoved down your throat. And that's how you force feed someone, and that's what you do, and that's what they did do. And that's the other point I really want to make. They did do that, and they've been condemned for that, and we've sort of, like, forgotten that just because it's, like, interesting to hear about their, I don't know what their motivation was, and, man, I'm not a psychologist. I don't even want to know.
know?
Yeah. No, I thought of that too. I'm like, how do you even think of that?
Yeah.
Like, well, I mean, did the guy say I don't want lunch or something? And, you know, they're like, oh, you know what? We're going to puree it and shove it up your ass. I mean, it's just, it's clearly not, it was clearly nothing other than to humiliate and to torture, right?
Yeah. And it maybe says something about the torturers themselves. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm being disrespectful to America's heroes.
The enhanced interrogators.
Yeah.
Enhanced interrogators. Well, you know what? I'm an Iraq war veteran as well. I was over there. And so I give a hearty, try to clean this up for radio, a hearty screw you to them. They're
good.
Heroes.
Good.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
on. Thank you, Chad. All right. Thank you very much. Bob in Washington, you're on with Jody. Hey, Bob.
Hey, a while ago you all referred to the Gruber stupidity quote. When it's in reality, Republicans in politics rely on the stupidity of the American voter and are masters at manipulating it. I have a question. What kind of a person says they're for a living wage, affordable health care, equal pay for equal work, protection of voter rights, Medicare, Social Security, and then vote for Republicans who are against all of the above? I would say that is a stupid person, and who would vote for somebody to put into government when they are anti-government of, by, and for the people? I mean, they are totally opposed to it, and much of the right-wing Republicans that are sitting in Congress collecting salaries are trying to destroy it by obstructing, which we don't hear them talking mm-hmm. about, obstruction, which is the reason why the Republicans did so well, is because most people weren't even aware that every single thing they tried to do for jobs and health care, I mean, this guy, I'm not really so fond of the Affordable Care Act. I believe in Medicare for all. But, you know, the people who are for health care for all and everything are the people who are being demonized by the Republicans. And
yeah.
we are too stupid. I'm not saying we, but too many people literally, I mean, there's no other way of saying it. They are so stupid because they're voting for their own interest. And I know you're all
against their own interest.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to remind people of that.
Yep. All right, honey. Yes. In answer to Daryl Issa's question, are we stupid? Yes.
Yes.
Apparently we are.
Yes,
yes we are.
Yes.
Yes. Doi. by the way, yeah, a lot of things slipped into the spending bill. Campaign finance reform's death knell, mm-hmm. Speaking of John McCain,
yeah.
the spending bill. Oh, the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money
yeah.
has some fun facts for us.
Oh,
okay. About what else they're slipping in there. He says, Senator Elizabeth Warren, why she's raising concerns about commercial banks placing yeah. their financial bets commingled in the same pool of money that is taxpayer-backed by the U.S. Treasury. Business can bet, and they do all the time, he says, on product services brands. But why should the taxpayers bail out the banks if they lose? A parallel would be with all U.S. citizens can go to Vegas in their Vegas paper casino, and if they lose, then Chase, Citibank, Wells Fargo, Bank of America will send them a check
right.
for their losses at the casino.
Mm.
Amazing Republicans could put something in the budget bill with such horrible optics.
Good God.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, it's horrific.
And we're only going to get way more than that now that they're going to control both houses of Congress.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
the
veto pen
should
be in good use, hopefully.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. It would be like the Wells Fargo was at the, you know, the Golden Nugget.
Yeah.
As a polite chipmunk. Could I have my money back? I have just gambled my life.
You. Oh, no. You first. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for my life savings back. 29 minutes after the hour, more Jody Hamilton live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
They're all on TV this week.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Jody Hamilton live in studio with us.
That's
Aaron Hamilton in your ears.
That's right. That music is Aaron Hamilton, Jody's sister.
OMG. I didn't know she had a band.
No, she's a solo dance
yeah,
queen.
In the late 90s, she had a string of successful dance songs.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know. Just see why you're so... damn fascinating. I learned something new, but something related to Jody Hamilton every day.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm just that old. I know everybody.
Yeah, exactly. And she's going to the party honoring
me. I
am. That you're not
I'm
going to.
The boy's going with me, so.
Yes, your boy Lonnie is mm-hmm. going. Thank you very much.
Wouldn't miss it.
Yes, thank you.
I pick and choose the parties I go to with you.
Jody has done the happy. Speaking of parties, the Happy Hour podcast, and she was spectacular.
She was.
Oh, by the way, so guess who's coming up, which I have in writing?
What?
So it's legal. Marcia Clark.
Awesome.
Right on. Which I was laughing because Cuba Gooding Good Jr. is going to play OJ. They're doing, did you see this?
Oh, wow.
They're doing a...
The makers of American Horror Story are doing a spinoff called American Crime Story. And they're going to cover, like,
really?
A different crime each season. And
Glee creator Ryan Murphy is directing this, right?
Well, he created American Horror Story.
Right. Anyway, but he's doing this, and it's going to be called American Crime Story: The People versus O.J. Simpson, mm-hmm. which is based on the best-selling book, The Run of His Life, The People versus O.J. Simpson by Jeffrey Toobin. And so Sarah Paulson, star of American Horror Story, is going to play Marcia Clark.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful.
So
I think that's great. Casting.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, and Cuba Gooding Jr. is good casting. So
yeah.
We'll talk to Marcia about that
whenever
we drag her in here.
And she's coming into this show or into
the
podcast.
Happy hour.
Oh, you're going to get her hammered.
By the scotch.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wait, no, she switched from scotch to vodka.
Ooh.
I believe.
It's clear.
We'll clear that up before.
Yes.
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 Okay.
Absolutely.
And tonight we're taping a happy hour with comedian Jason Stewart.
Jason Stewart, who is hilarious.
Yes.
All right. So very, very exciting.
And that will be available for download tomorrow. The video will be available on Saturday.
Yes. And Jim, voice DD Jim Ward,
yep.
presumably.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what else are we talking about? Mark in San Francisco, you're on with Jody. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Stephanie. San Francisco still loves you.
Oh, thank you. I still love San Francisco. I left my heart there.
Yeah, be careful of the rain. There's supposed to be rainageddon there today.
It's coming down pretty heavy. Anyway, what I wanted to bring up was this lame duck Congress.
In addition to men.
Retiree pensions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And that's huge because that's going to affect a lot of people and hurt a lot of people. And, of course, you know about the Wall Street, the provision that protects us from them gambling. That's also on the chopping block, too. So we've really got to fight with these Republicans.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time I see Elizabeth Warren talk, I'm just like, oh,
I love her.
Yeah. Oh. This is what I was talking about. I mean, I just thought it's interesting, as, you know, John McCain is virtually the only Republican out there, condemning torture. And a campaign finance reform has long been on life support. Today it can be declared nearly dead. A proposal tucked deep inside the massive spending bill to keep the government running. Under current regulations, a donor can give $32,400 to Democratic or Republican National Committee. Soon they'll be able to give a total of $324,000,
wow.
10 times the current limit. The change effectively guts most of what's left of McCain-Feingold campaign finance from 2002. I mean, it's really, and forget it with this whole, I mean, people forget it was the McCain comprehensive immigration reform bill.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I guess it's just that crazy Kennedy bill is what they call it.
Right.
Like, I mean, this is how, you don't need any further evidence of how far right the Republican Party has gone.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing with McCain's, McCain couldn't run on anything that had McCain's name in it the last time McCain ran.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Charles in Miami, you're on with Jody. Hello, Charles.
Hi, good morning, Stephanie.
Hello,
good morning.
What's that?
I said good morning.
Yes.
Your show.
Yes, thank you. Go ahead.
Right. My biggest thing right now is this, the CIA torture.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what
it was. Nothing less than that. And how dangerous it is to America. I've already came to a conclusion. I don't know if you'll agree, but I still have to state, my feelings, because that's my First Amendment rights. I just believe the Republicans are turning into the Nazis of the 40s. And, you have to wonder, how did this happen? How did Adolf Hitler come to power? I think we're actually seeing it right now.
Yeah.
Because if you have an arm of the government that's radical, and you can't speak against it, and the people of that party.
Well, Charles, normally we outlaw Hitler analogies, but in this case.
Yeah.
My father was a prosecutor at Nuremberg where we act, war crimes. Charles.
I'm sorry. I apologize. It's so sad in this case that you see, they were saying the recidivism of people that's leaving Guantanamo turning into terrorists is very low. But it doesn't matter. Even if you have two or three people that's gone back into terrorists because they've been treated this way and they have natural hate for us, it leaves people like us that's innocent that wouldn't even think about it, of doing another person like that. But because we're Americans,
we're going to suffer abroad. You have people that's traveling out there. You have people that's out there on business, or even people in the service. You know, we have to stand up. We can't sit back and take this lightly or let them talk us out of what we need to do. They're actually wrong, and they're scared of us. And if we just come up and show that, you know, this is wrong and this is not American, this is actually something that the Nazis would do, and there's a difference between us.
Yes, that's the whole point. Exactly. We don't do, you know, this is, we're America. We're
Their argument is, well, they do it.
What
do
you guys,
so?
Yeah, exactly. What do you guys make of this CIA? And I just wonder if it's more, you know, designed to just like, oh, you know, everybody's fighting, so who can tell who's to blame? Because the CIA is saying, you know, that's, you know, that's crap. We didn't lie. Right, and the
isn't the report based on emails that were internal in
the
CIA? So I mean, how can they say that's not true when those are their own emails?
Exactly. Even though they didn't, you know, they didn't interview anybody from the CIA because the CIA told them not to talk.
Right.
You know, they still had documents from the CIA that pretty much covered everything.
Yeah. So how can they say that's not true?
Right. Exactly.
This is in your email account and on CIA, letterhead.
Right, but I'm almost a little confused about the whole fight between the Bush administration and the CIA, because the CIA is saying we didn't lie. You know, the report said, oh, they misled. But, I mean, the Bush-Cheney administration ordered it. How were they misled?
I think they were misled. Colin Powell was misled.
Colin Powell was definitely misled. And even Cheney last night, when he was on Brett Baer, said that the Bush administration did not authorize things like shoving hoses up people's butts.
Right.
And so that was...
Yeah, he said, I can't speak to that.
Right, he pretty much intimated that those were rogue agents that were doing that.
I think they're trying to throw the Bush administration under the bus and vice versa.
That's what I mean. But then he said, oh, to say there were rogue agents, that's BS.
Right.
I mean, so which is it? Right?
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, here is Dick last night. Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a terrible piece of work, basically. That seems to me it's deeply flawed. They didn't bother to interview key people involved in the program.
They tried to.
And I think that it's a sort of a classic example, which you see too often in Washington, where a group of politicians get together and sort of throw the professionals under the bus. We've seen it happen before. I can remember Iran-Contra.
Oh, you mean another illegal Republican administration that ordered something that was a crime?
Right.
I see.
You know, he sounds like a guy imitating him.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
He sounds so evil to me.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Sharon Osbourne says Jay Leno only lasted a second in bed.
What?
When did they have the sex?
I mean, she's not very happy with it.
Oh, they had the sex when he was an up-and-coming...
Before Ozzy and before he was married.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, that was 100 years ago.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. When she was 25.
Right.
She was on our buddy, our serious colleague, Howard Stern's show, and she said, well, it only took a minute, so I'll just say it took a second, and that was it.
Bless his heart.
Poor Jay.
Poor Jay.
I'm sure he'll be fine.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't cover the biggest news of the morning yet with Jody, for God's sakes, of all the, you know, war crimes. This is a really something the U.S. government is doing that you probably do not know, Jody.
Does it have anything to do with horses?
No,
it
does not. Thank you for asking. The U.S. government wants to keep you from wearing Comfy Balls boxer shorts.
Comfy what?
Comfy Balls. It's a company.
Okay.
The regrettably named Norwegian underwear brand Comfy Balls was all set to make its big debut in the... Now we can't have nice things. Because of the U.S. government. When it was shut down by the country's patent and trademark office, it's just too vulgar for Americans to accept. Really?
Really?
We like to look at Kim Kardashian's oily ass, and this is too
much. You can't have comfy balls?
I can see worse name stuff by going to the adult section of Spencer's Gifts in the mall.
No kidding.
What?
Well, you know who would be concerned, the concerned women of America.
Well, yeah.
They were concerned about Sweaty Balls ice cream.
Yes.
That's true, they were.
They're concerned about lesbians.
If we can have Sweaty Balls ice cream, why can't we have Comfy Balls?
Why can't we? Why can't we have Comfy Balls?
The men in this country need to have Comfy Balls.
And since when has the government deemed products too vulgar?
Well, Gawker brings us the story. American authorities banned it from operating under that name, finding that in the context of the applicant's goods, Comfy Balls means only one thing. That a man's testicles will be comfortable in the applicant's undergarments.
Should it be more accurate saying comfy testicles?
Would that
right?
be better?
That's
yes.
not the government's right. job to do right. that. I'm sorry.
Well,
this
the market,
is government overreach in any statery.
It does not create a double entendre or other idiomatic expression. When used in this way, the word balls has an offensive meaning. Mm. Hmm. Would you like to know, Chris, what makes comfy balls so comfy?
I would.
Sure.
I bet what, you would.
Well, I'm the only one.
I want a pair now.
Yeah, I'm the only one here who might benefit from this.
According to the company, the fist-sized crotch protrusion you see on the pair is not just for looks.
It's only fist size?
It is the pinnacle of testicular technology.
That's easy for you to say.
Right. package front, trademark, is designed to keep your equipment in place while being lifted. Gently
you don't
separated.
Want to separate. No, you don't want to separate.
No? Okay. Just lifted.
You don't
away
want
to. From the inside of your thighs, preventing unnecessary heating oh. of the aforementioned.
Well, that's
area.
Good, though.
Right. That's good. Extremely curved panels combined with innovative use of elastic fabric seems it lift the user experience to a new level. Citing successful trademarks on brands like.
Like what?
On I don't know if I can say these. Similar, citing successful trademarks on brands like Nice and I Love My Comfy Balls founder.
And G, your smells terrific.
Hopes that they will review the decision to pan his application. All right, so.
Oh, wow.
That's all, you know.
I want a pair now.
Great for the free market and comfy
yeah.
balls.
Yes, I think the libertarians will be all over it.
There you go.
Oh, well, yeah. That's...
I sense an endorsement for Alec Baldwin.
Yeah. That's a little disturbing that the government is getting involved with the names of products.
That's
you're
ridiculous.
Right. Nanny State. Yeah, they are gently cupping your... Okay.
That's gently lifted.
Right.
Nanny Statery run amok.
Exactly. 46 minutes after the hour. Back at the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
You gotta laugh. Or you just cry all day, wouldn't you? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Ow. I get it, because the president was hanging out with the royals, right?
That's right.
Kate and... Did you see she wore the same dress more than once?
What?
She did.
Okay.
She's pregnant. She's allowed.
Yes.
She's
yes.
pregnant again.
Yeah.
I have a card upstairs. Guess where, Chris?
Where?
From the Obamas. Upstairs. I was the only one that
Christmas
got
card?
Yeah, Christmas
like,
card.
Like, you got it this year, or is this one from a few years ago?
No, I got one this year.
Okay.
Want me to bring it down and show you? I will.
No, that's
get
okay.
this in there, Beau and Sonny. Oh, this is so handsome.
I still have my Christmas card from Michael Eisner.
That's nice.
Okay. I don't get one of those since I tanked.
You tanked that whole radio network, actually.
Oh, I tanked a radio network and the late night TV show.
Yeah.
No, I'm never going to get a Christmas card from Michael Eisner.
I got one from Mrs. Brady.
You did?
Did
Florence?
You?
That was my first one this year.
Oh.
Oh.
I imagined the Carol Burnett household had quite an array of Christmas cards when you were growing
yeah.
up. You just figure everyone got those?
Yeah, pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah. yeah. We used to get one from Dick Nixon every year. Dick and Pat. Because my parents.
Okay.
You know,
that's cool.
Whatever.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, a lot of consternation about the, as you said, Nanny State gone amok, that Comfy Balls underwear cannot get a patent here in America. Chelsea tweets, we can have truck nuts, but no comfy balls. Damn you, Obama. Greg says, so the underwear got sacked because...
Ah, yeah. That's good.
They got sacked because of that whole idea. Hey, speaking of clothing, who lost a sheep? Did you lose a sheep in a Christmas sweater? Nebraska has it, everybody. That's
what?
Sheep.
What?
That's your sheep. Nebraska has it.
Oh, it's kind of adorable.
It is. Look at it.
Who's got a pretty Christmas sweater?
He's got an ugly Christmas sweater.
Is it made out of wool?
Is this Carter?
Oh. Is it made out of wool?
Oh, Joey.
Although they don't kill a sheep with a wool.
They don't kill them. They just
buzz
shear
them. Yeah.
Oh, dear. That's really... That would be sad.
It would.
Gawker says, hey, drunk people, did you decorate a sheep for Christmas this weekend? Did you lose that sheep? If so, please report your drunken self to the Nebraska Humane Society and pick up your Christmas sheep.
Oh, University of Nebraska, known for its drunkenness.
There you go. Yeah.
Everybody in the car? Oh, where's the sheep in the Christmas sweater? Damn it. All right, we have to do one, a man from?
Florida.
Yes!
It's our WTF Florida stack, and why not?
Actually, to find stories now, the, like... weird stories like this, I do type into Google, Florida man.
Oh, that's great.
I do.
Nice.
There is nothing that does not end in an entertaining fashion when it starts with a Florida man or a Florida woman.
Right. Yeah.
And then there's almost nothing that is off. Like, for instance, did you see this coming? Maybe not. Maybe you did. Florida man takes mushrooms, claims he's God, pees on the carpet.
Well, that makes sense.
Well, sure.
That totally
you
makes
know,
sense.
As you do.
As you do.
A man accused of spitting in the face of emergency workers was unable to avoid a trip to jail despite identifying himself as God.
Even
man
God
identified
can go to jail.
As a victim said that the man took some mushrooms, wanted to fight him. He also said Martin urinated on the floor and was tearing up his apartment. An officer tried to speak with the guy, but he
with God.
Yes, with God. Right. But God spit in his face.
Well,
the officer told him he would go to jail if he spit in the officer's face again. And then he spit in the officer's face again and also punched him several times.
Wow.
When a rescue worker asked his name, he said God. And then he also spit in the rescue worker's face because he's a man.
This is Old Testament God.
Yeah.
Definitely
this
Old Testament God.
This is the smiting God.
Yeah, that's the Kim Kardashian smiting God.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
All right. Clint Eastwood has spent $715,000 on a home for his former mistress.
Whoa.
Is it furnished or it just comes with one chair?
Oh,
chair
nice.
He yells at. Yeah. He's in the middle of the room yelling at the chair.
Is it in your vacation paradise of Carmel?
I believe it is.
Oh, wow.
I believe it is.
Okay.
How nice of him.
Yes. Well, he's dating someone else's former mistress. Mm. He's in the middle of battling his former wife over his $375 million.
Whatever.
Estate, yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, but he found a time in the middle of it to buy his former mistress.
That was nice of him.
That's lovely.
All right.
That was nice.
That's nice.
Yay.
All right. All right. Chris in Wisconsin, you're on with Jody. Hello, Chris.
Oh. Hey, how are you?
Hello.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, I just wanted to call and talk to you a little bit about the terrorist torture report that came out or whatever. And
right, well, okay, first of all, let's stipulate that some of them actually turned out not to be terrorists. Oops. All right. Thanks for calling. He was a troll.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb and say he does not enjoy my show at all.
Yeah. I think he's a liar as much as the CIA is.
I felt bad because I stunned him with the fact stun gun. Yeah. Immediately, he was unable to go on.
Yeah, he was very stunned.
Wait a minute. Yes, well, my point being, we killed and tortured some people that were cab drivers.
And our guys,
were,
too.
Right.
People that were
couple
our
of our guys.
Guys.
Yeah. Yes, we tortured a couple of our own by accident. Oops. As
Oops.
Rick Perry would say.
Oops.
Oh, speaking of Rick Perry and oops, he says income inequality is not a problem in Texas.
Especially in Texas.
Despite a significant rise in income equality in Texas, Governor Perry is arguing that's not something the state ought to be worried about. He said, we don't grapple with that here. He cited the Bible then. Biblically, the poor are always going to be with us in some form or fashion.
Oh,
but statistically, more likely if you're in Texas.
Texas.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Texas has a horrible problem with income inequality.
Nice. Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Actually, while Perry takes the message from the Bible to mean poverty is hopeless and therefore not worth grappling with, what Jesus actually was saying was a different lesson. For ye who have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will do, ye may do them good. So that means you should actually try to, I know it's crazy, maybe try
wacky.
To help the poor in some way, is what they're saying. Texas was among 15 states that saw a significant rise in income inequality. I think he just said, because the Bible says they're
right.
always going to be here.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
like, you know, like head lice and fungus. They're, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the point of doing anything?
Yeah.
Okay. Terry in Kansas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Terry.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I've listened to the whole thing about torture and all that, and I think they should be charged with war crimes. But on the other hand, we've got President Obama using drones and killing people. I think he should, too.
Oh, for God's sakes. Here we go with the whataboutisms. Because, okay.
No, well, we're not a fan of that, either.
No, we're not a fan of civilian casualties, either.
Good Lord. It's not black or white, either or, here.
Exactly.
Whataboutists.
Exactly.
We have the largest audience of whataboutists, I think, in the entire radio business.
No, I think they're just
what about this other bad time
they're,
thing?
They're told to call in
right.
by... Websites right. and things.
And such.
Right. All right. Jody Hamilton, you remain a delight.
And where can we read about your podcast? Where can we subscribe to it?
From-the-bunker.com.
Okay.
Put it in the subscription box and then check your spam because that's where we end up.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you. Love you, Jody. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.